Thank you, Brother Matt. Thank you, Miss Monique. If you have your Bibles, if you take a turn with us to Exodus chapter number 17, while you're turning there, I'd like to circle back on an announcement that I made this morning. As I mentioned, a few thank yous. I'm wanting to say thank you to those folks that have worked alongside of us. I know some of our folks weren't here this morning. Miss Effler wasn't here. I do want to say thank you to all of our staff, Miss Effler, and I mentioned the others. But thank you for your support, and thank you for the hard work over the last several months, keeping our focus together, and I appreciate that. But there's also one other one that I failed to mention this morning, just kind of overlooked that. I did mention our entire church family. But I want to say thank you to Brother Matt Smith. Brother Matt is one that he takes care of our Wednesday night preliminaries, and he's always, you're able to depend on him. If you ask him to do something, he does it, and he gets it taken care of, and I appreciate that. But also, one thing that I can say about Brother Matt over the past several months, I've shared this with my wife a number of times, probably shared it with some of you other ones. I don't think there is anyone that has gone out of their way, in my mind, to encourage me more over the past several months than Brother Matt. And I appreciate that from a friendship perspective, but also appreciate that from a public perspective as well. Just kind words and encouragement. He's kind of the guy that if I think that, or if I want to know whether I mispronounced a word, I look at Brother Matt. If I know that I misspoke it and I don't care, I look somewhere else. But if I want to know if I said it right, I look at Brother Matt and he can give me the no. So I appreciate, but I do appreciate our church family. All right, you can tell, even with trying to rearrange and cut out a couple of preliminaries, you can tell that it's been a lengthy day or lengthy time already. And so as we look at the clock, I certainly want you to understand I will be sensitive to your time tonight. As I leaned over and told Pastor Newhart that our minds can only understand what our backsides can endure. And so I will be sensitive to that understanding this evening. If you'll give me about 15 minutes, now I'll tell you when to start counting, but if you'll give me about 15 minutes, I think I can probably get the points across that I want to get across this evening. We preached this morning out of Acts chapter number 9, preached a message, How Do You Handle the New Preacher? Looking at this morning, I won't re-preach that, but this morning I want to, or tonight I want to piggyback off of that, but this morning we looked at Saul. Following his conversion, he's called by the Lord to go and to be the messenger of God to the Gentile people. Now he had a problem, his past, and he had a problem, his present, and he had a problem, his record spoke for itself. And so the disciples that were tasked with being a blessing to him or being an encouragement to him, they had three choices of how they were going to handle the new preacher on their hands. That first choice was they could have been a hindrance and said no. The second choice was they could have just been a hesitant person, just sat back and said, well, not now, I'm not so sure. But the Bible tells us that they, in the face of danger and death themselves, they grabbed a hold of a rope, they put him in a basket, and they helped him. They let him down by the wall. Now, again, we're not going to go back to Acts chapter number 9 and preach that message, but this evening we are going to try to piggyback on those thoughts, and I want to give you three more thoughts that I think will help us in our next couple of minutes together. Exodus chapter number 17. I realize that the passage that I'm using certainly is not a new preacher. Moses is not a new preacher by this time. But I think that the application is still the same of how we can respond to God's man. Notice with me Exodus chapter 17, verse number 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance, I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. When God says, I think that's important, write it in a book. I think that we can say that it's important. We ought to listen, and we ought to see what it is that we can gain from that. So tonight, as we look at this final message on the thought of how do you handle the new preacher, let's pray together and ask the Lord's blessing on our few moments. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity that we have to be in Your house. Lord, thank You for Your goodness to us and for Your blessings upon us. And thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to reflect and for the opportunity to hear of the blessing that You gave to others this week as they served You faithfully here. And now, Lord, I pray that as in our next few moments together as we look at Your Word, God, that You would give us, Lord, the understanding to be able to make application. And then, Lord, I pray that You'd give us attentive ears. And Lord, I pray that You'd open our hearts, eyes, and ears and help us to just focus on what thus saith the Word of the Lord. Cause us, Lord, that we would be found faithful in the days to come. And we'll do our very best to give You the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A very familiar passage of Scripture that you have in front of you and that we've looked at this evening. It's one that you've probably heard messages on before. In fact, I've preached a message one time. Maybe preached it here, I guess. It seems like it's pretty fresh on my mind. But I preached a message one time looking at preached a message called Thank God for Guys Like Her. And there's absolutely no taking away from what Aaron and Hur did in their roles of helping out God's servant with regard to holding his hands up. But I want us tonight to look at how we can apply that to our lives and how we can be better stewards of ministry and how we can be better servants of ministry by doing our part to take advantage of the opportunity that God has given to us. We are in a pivotal moment in the life of our church as we transition from one pastor to the next. And here lately, the past few months, we've been in this period of interim, as you well know, and we are fixing to hand over the reins of leadership, so to speak, as far as that goes, to another pastor. A pastor that we believe as a church and have demonstrated with our calling him and our vote on him that this is the man that God would have to lead this ministry. And so soon and very soon, Lord willing, Lord Terry's is coming. Pastor Ashmore will stand and he will give charge to us. And Pastor Ashmore will stand and he will give to us from God's Word what it is that the Lord's laid on his heart. And he will motivate us and push us and kind of be the visionary of this ministry and will kind of catapult us into a direction of the future. And we're excited about those things, but we must understand that no one man can do it on his own. No one man can stand and lead a ministry of a church family that's as diverse as ours is. When you look at the demographics of our church, while it is very, very, when we were putting together those things with our pulpit committee, it is very interesting to see the age demographics of our church, that it's almost divided at that time. That was about a year ago. It was almost divided 33% of the youth and the teens to the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, and then the Silver Anchors group. And when you put those things together, boy, it's really spread. It's really diverse. It's a unique makeup. And then you add in the mix of the Christian school, and you add in the other elements of ministry that we have. There's no way in the world one person can do it on their own. Not even if they wanted to. Not even if they were the most gifted people on the face of the earth. One person can't do those things. So they need people. They need people to serve in certain capacities. Some of those people will be staff, and some of those people will be ones that are on paid staff of the church. Some of those would be administrative staff. There's all kinds of breakdowns of the way that those support areas work. But I want you to understand something. Regardless of the title that you hold tonight, every single one of us has a very important role in the ministry of Pastor Ashmore. Every single one of us have been gifted with an opportunity to serve alongside God's man that He's called to lead this work. And when we find this particular passage that we've looked at this evening, we find Aaron and Hur and their task that God said, it's so important, I want you to write it in a book so that you never forget it. Their task was getting a stone for Moses to sit on. And their task was holding his hands. And God said, write it in a book. It's that important. Tonight, you might be here and you might think, well, what I do is not that important. You don't understand. Nobody ever sees it. Nobody ever knows it. Nobody, in fact, if I didn't do it, they wouldn't miss it a beat. Listen to me. Don't you allow yourself to believe that for one moment. Every single duty and every single task that we do is important if it's done with the right heart and if it's done for the right reason. If it's done as a labor of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, that is something worth mentioning. And God looked at what these two men did and said, write it in a book. Notice with me three things very quickly in our next few minutes together. How do we handle the new pastor? How do we handle the new preacher? And how can we be a blessing to him? What was so important of Aaron? What was so important of her? What was so important of Joshua? What was so important that Moses, what was so important that they were doing that God said, write it down and remember it forever? Number one, I would submit to you this. Everyone was doing their part. Everyone was doing their part. Notice, if you would, what the Bible tells us that Moses calls to Joshua. And he tells Joshua, listen, I want you to go out and choose some men. We're going to go fight with Amalek. And while you're doing that, I'm going to go up to the top of the hill. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have the rod of God in my hand. And I'm going to take Aaron and I'm going to take her. And we're going up to the top of the mountain. And you're going to go out and you're going to lead the soldiers. And you're going to go out and you're going to direct the soldiers. So Joshua goes and he gathers himself men. And men under the command of Joshua. And they go into battle. And so now you've got Joshua leading the men. And the men engaged in battle. And Moses overseeing Joshua, who's overseeing the men. And sitting one side or the other, you've got Aaron and you've got her, and everyone has a part that they are doing. Now, I think if Aaron and Hur would have been most beneficial on the battlefield, I think Scripture would have recorded that Aaron and Hur would have been on the battlefield. And if if Joshua would have been more suited and better perfected to go and gather the stone and hold up Moses' hands, I think Scripture probably would have recorded it that Joshua was gathering the stone or holding up his arms. But that wasn't what is recorded. But what we find here is everyone doing their part in harmony, their part as small as it seems, their part as big as it seems. Everyone is doing their part. Now tonight I'm going to really cut to the bare bones in the skeleton of this outline. I'm not going to look at a lot of the examples because of the sake of time. But tonight I want you to understand something. If you want to be, and I believe we all do, if we want to be a blessing to our pastor, and if we want to encourage this man in the work here, here's where we must start. We must start by doing our part. Every one of us. Whether our part's involved in the music, or our part's involved in the grounds, or our part's involved in the janitorial, or our part's involved in the youth, or our part's involved in the Sunday school, or in the sound, wherever it is, here's what we must commit to do. Lord, I'll do to the best of my ability. Lord, I'll do as long as you allow me. I'll do my part. I don't know if you understand how easy it is for us to look at what someone else does and the notoriety that they get, or the attention that they get, or the applause that they get. Or maybe you look, and even in a workplace setting, we look at that and we find out that somebody maybe makes more than we do, or somebody gets a different compensation package, and it tends to sometimes rub us the wrong way. Sometimes those feelings can transition into the ministry too, and it's usually not so much with the salary so much, but it can be with the recognition or the attention or the tasks that get assigned. But here's what our responsibility is. We look for opportunities to do our part. And if there's anything that we do that's going to be an encouragement to our pastor, it's not going to be how we tell him all about the past and how everybody else has always done things. No. The greatest blessing that we can be is if we just do our part. Every single one of us together, working in unison, working in harmony to do our part so that the work of the ministry and that God's work is perfected. Notice with me, number one, everyone did their part. Number two, they were with him from the start. They were with him from the start. You say, what does that mean? Well, notice what Moses doesn't spend time doing in our text. Moses doesn't have to spend time convincing these people why this is a good idea. Moses doesn't have to spend time convincing them and selling them an idea. He doesn't have to spend time convincing Joshua of how many men that he needs to go and do battle with Amalek. He doesn't have to spend time convincing Joshua of a strategy and a battle plan. He doesn't have to spend time politicking and getting this side of folks together and getting support for this one and getting support for this idea and that idea. No. These people are trusting God's man from the beginning. They recognize that God is upon him and that this is their leader. And in that recognition, they are with him from the start. Now back to the opening comments that I made this morning, lest anybody think that I am preaching some crazy pie-in-the-sky nonsense. I am not preaching blind loyalty. I'm not preaching a servantship of we just say yes to whatever somebody wants us to do. That's not it at all. But here's what we do. We say, this is the man that God sent to lead Victory Baptist Church. And I'm going to support him. My mind's made up that I want to support him. I want to support his family. And I want to support this ministry. And our minds should be made up in that regard before he ever gets here. You can say amen. It won't hurt my feelings. That's something that will help us help him. And when they get here, they see people not looking to see how they're going to pan out. When they get here, they see people not looking for criticism or critique or opportunity for them to prove themselves to us. No. From the very beginning, at the very start, they see a church family. They see servants. They see staff. They see deacons. They see leaders. They see all of these people who from the very beginning say, I just want to do my part and help God's man in this place, in this day. That's being with him from the start. A lot of times you talk about momentum, and some people believe that momentum doesn't exist as far as in these areas. I particularly think that you can build off of those things. For instance, we're coming off of a time where we just had 100 boys and girls roaming our halls. I say we build on that momentum to be able to continue to grow. That's the purpose of the Wednesday night thing, making it as active as it can, so that hopefully, by the time Patch the Pirate Club rolls around, we're building on momentum there, and we've got momentum going into the Patch Club, and then we're building again, and we're building again. Well, if when a new pastor comes in, if he has to spend time in the first months of his ministry proving himself to everyone and earning participation and respect and the help of others, you lose a lot of momentum. But momentum aside, our responsibility is to help God's man. And how do we do that? Number one, we do our part. Number two, we're with him from the start. I've had the privilege to be in contact with Brother Ashmore, perhaps more than many of you, because of the role that I'm playing now in trying to make sure there's a seamless transition. As I reported last Sunday night, perhaps one of the greatest accomplishments that I would be able to say of this tenure is being able to tell Pastor Ashmore when I see him next Saturday, well, the good news is, Pastor Ashmore, there's no crisis that I know of. The wheels aren't falling off. We aren't bankrupt. And as far as I know, the power bill's been paid and everything's going to be okay and folks will be there for you to preach to in the morning. And while you get an opportunity to talk with him, you get an opportunity to be able to try to learn a little bit about his personality and those kind of things, I don't think that it matters whether it's been a while since you spoke with him, or whether it's been a while since you've heard him preach, or whether it's been so long that you've even forgot about, you know, the dates and those kind of things. I think there's still some fundamental truths that are very, very important, and that is God has sent us his man to lead us for these days, And it's our responsibility to do our part. And we should be determined to do that from the very start. But then number three, I told you I'd be quick. Number three, everybody did their part. They were with him from the start. That was with Moses. Moses doesn't have to spend time selling his plan. They're with him. They're trusting him. His direction. But then number three, I think it's pretty obvious. These men served with their heart. They served with their heart. You say, what do you mean? Well, I can't help but think for a moment that if I were Aaron and Hur, as I watched Moses stretch his arms out, and as I watched the results, that when Moses' arms were up, the results were drastically different from when his arms were lowered. And I imagine for a moment that Moses, when he realized that that was the correlation there, I can't help but think that Moses, probably his arms begin to shake with exhaustion and fatigue. And that Moses would have given everything that he could to have held his arms up longer, but for the sake of pure physical exhaustion, he just couldn't. And as his arms would come up, or his arms would come begin to shake, and his arms would begin to weight down themselves, and as they would begin to fall, and the Amaleks would begin to prosper, I can't help but think that there stands Aaron, and there stands Hur. And the Bible doesn't tell us that Moses says, go and get me a rock. The Bible doesn't tell us that Moses says, hold my arms. What the Bible pictures for us is two men who wanted to be a blessing to God's man any way that they could. I imagine that they probably, if they're like me, which, let's face it, I realize they're probably leaps and bounds ahead of me, but if they're like me, I could see me there. Well, let me hold my hands up. Let me see if that works. Here, I'll hold mine up for a little while. Hey, Hur, hold yours up too. Hold yours up too. Surely two's better than one. Hold them up. But the results weren't there. Wait a minute. These are arms. This is flesh. These are bones. Hold them up. Does it work? And those two men, they realized that the secret to this warfare rested on God's man. And they went and got a rock. And as they got a rock, put Moses down on it. And I imagine that was some relief. But their heart was moved. They had to find a way for God's man to continue in God's work. They put his arms up. They hold his arms up until the victory is complete. Now, let me be very joking but practical with you, okay? If I was Aaron and Hur goes to get a rock, I can only imagine how I would be. As we go to pick out this rock, oh no, no, you can't get that rock. No, not that rock. So-and-so don't like that size rocks over there. No, we can't do that. Or that's not the rock that Pastor Hollis would have ever picked. You shouldn't pick that rock. Or that's not the rock, he's not here so I can talk about it. That's not, Pastor Macedo would never like that rock. No, he's not going to want to sit on there. Hey, listen, I can imagine, and that's being probably a little extreme sarcastic, but I can imagine how many issues could have came up, except for one thing. These men had one goal, and that was they wanted to serve with God's man, and they were moved in their heart to do it. And when they saw the need was feeble hands. The need wasn't speaking publicly. The need wasn't writing a declaration of war. The need wasn't declaring victory. The need wasn't doing anything in the spotlight. The need was God's man's knees are feeble. God's man's hands are tired. And so what am I going to do with all that is within me? I want to meet the needs of God's man that He sent to lead us for this day. And something as simple and mundane as grabbing a rock and holding somebody's hands. And God said, I see your work. Moses, write it down in your book. Never forget this day. Beloved, I'll tell you how we handle a new preacher. Number one, we get with him from the start. Number two, we do our part. And number three, we serve with our heart. And I can promise you, the rewards and the fruit of that labor will be the likes of which we can't comprehend and we won't understand it, but we can rest assured God can send it. You'll have a choice. You can choose whether to be with them from the start or not. I would encourage you, be with them from the start. You can choose whether you'll do your part or whether you'll hold out. I would beg of you, just do your part. And you can choose whether you'll serve with your heart or whether you will only do the things that make sense in your head, or whether you'll only do the things that make sense in your pocketbook or your calculator or your understanding or your ministry experience or your past. But I would encourage you, minister and serve with your heart. God sent us a man. It's our responsibility to handle him the right way. And I'm confident God will bless us all the more for it. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes?